LSU takes down the Kentucky Wildcats. Rob Dillingham makes the game winner, but it ends up not being a game winner because LSU gets their own on the other end. It was painful, ladies and gentlemen. There is no doubt about it. Defensive collapse of sorts in the second half. We'll talk about it. Why did that happen? We'll break it all down today, right here on the Wildcats Today podcast. I'm your host, Andrew Stefaniak, writer and editor over at Wildcats Today, joined as always by my co-host, Carson Nash. Carson, you seem to be in a pretty good mood. Knowing you as long as I have, I don't know how that's possible.
Yeah, Andrew. So I'm actually not too upset about this loss. Yeah, I know there was definitely a lapse in play for a little bit of the game, but honestly, I still very much believe in this team. I know it might be crazy to say, but had that tip shot not gone in, we're talking about a tough road win.
So, exactly. You know. Exactly. You know, and I think, Carson, your and I's opinion on this game, I think a lot of our listeners are going to disagree. But I agree with Carson. And, you know, I'm not a sunshine pump guy. Not me. I am in the sky is falling, AT&T is crashing, the world is ending kind of guy. And you like that? You like that little
nugget? SOS. Yeah.
That was pretty fire.
That was a good one.
Don't explain it. We'll see if people get it in the comments. But and so I'd be the first. I always like to keep it real. I'd be the first to tell y'all if I was concerned about this. And listen, losing's not fun. We're not going to be moral victory people either. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is this team proved they can defend against Ole Miss, against Auburn, and in the first half of that game. And I'm going to tell you what I think happened. And if y'all disagree with this, please let us know in the comments. We want this to be a back-and-forth conversation. I think they got complacent. I think they thought they were going to win the game. And I think they stopped playing with that effort. Now, y'all are – and us, I'm upset about it. That shouldn't be happening. I think that's a little bit on the coaching staff. You got to see that quick and go, what are we doing? This team's come back a lot this year. You can't do that. But, you know, that's why I'm not frustrated. Yes, we can get into the whole, well, they shouldn't have let a team back in. That's embarrassing. You just play with more effort than that. That's not what Kentucky basketball is built off of. And that's all true. That's a different conversation. My conversation that we're having is I believe this team can defend and that they – for, you know, just kind of stopped. And I don't know why. And the loss is annoying and I'm mad about it, but I haven't lost it, the confidence I had going into that game, in my opinion. I think if they keep playing with that intensity, they win this game by 20 points, in all honesty. I mean, that's what happened. So Carson, I mean, what do you think? You agree? What are your thoughts on this game as a whole?
Yeah. So, and you brought up how you kind of thought it was a defensive fall apart there in the second half. And we did. We were up 15. We blew the lead. It's a mental error, defensive lapse. But I honestly think it was our offense that lost us the game there. Because if you think about it, most of our turnovers throughout the whole entire game came between that span.
Yeah,
that 10 minute span, that not even 10 minutes, it was less than that, that when they came back into the game, we were a little out of control. We were out of sorts offensively, and that allowed them to get a lot of easy buckets. Yeah. And I also do want to make this point. This game felt eerily similar to the 2014 game at Arkansas, where they had that put back dunk to win and upset us. And so it did feel a lot like that. I was in some pain last night, so let's not get that twisted. I was not the happiest camper when that shot went in. But I thought about it a little more, and I kind of calmed my nerves a little bit. And I was really relieved because you had a tale of two different halves, right? So my belief is in March, guards win March. It's just always been my belief. I think guards win March.
Fact.
In the first half, you had Reeves who went nuts.
Yeah.
And then in the second half, Rob Dillingham won you the game, but you ended up losing. So both of those guys went ballistic and you ended up losing a tough one. But you did see that they can win you a game. And the last play, let's be honest, we defended that play.
Yes. Let me add to it. I want to, before I forget. Yeah. And other thing, I also want to say this before we get, we're doing something different today. And we meant to say this a bit. Every time we mean to say something, we never say it. We're going to release an Alabama preview tomorrow morning, Friday morning. We're going to record that here in a minute. We're going to kind of separate these to kind of let people, hey, you know, let's talk about this, and we'll talk about that separate because this is a deeper conversation. So the Alabama preview will come out tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. And then this is just more of a breakdown of what happened against LSU. So, you know, those expecting the Alabama preview at the end, that'll be tomorrow in its own separate episode. But, you know, I want to give credit to the LSU player because when that ball, it was a smart play on a broken play. He was falling out of bounds. There was nothing he could do unless he tried to go over the backboard like we do when we play horse at your house. And, you know, he was like, okay, all I can do here is throw this, like almost like an alley-oop type of thing in front of the rim. That was smart. Credit to him. But the block, if that goes any other direction, Kentucky wins the game.
Yep.
And that's just how that, then you add on top of that, the free throw that like hit two fans in the stands and it came back and went in. That stuff just happens. And once again, not making excuses, but like stuff happens, you know, yeah. I mean, there was a lot of opportunities for Kentucky to win that game. A lot of things went wrong. A lot of things Kentucky did wrong, but you know, they played good defense when it mattered on that play and they got unlucky. And that's just the reality. So go ahead with what you were saying, but I wanted to add that because it was a cool play to watch. As much as it hurt everyone here listening and you and my hearts, it was still a pretty cool play.
Yeah, no, it was a great instincts by that kid. I mean, that's a game time play right there. But I thought it was a really well defended play. The only pick part I had on that play was when the ball goes up a lot, I feel like our defense is getting better, but this is definitely something we still need to work on. We watch the ball.
We don't
go and try to find a body. We watch the ball and see what's going to happen instead of reacting beforehand.
Yeah.
And I've noticed that a lot because you could see on that last play, I went back and watched it. You go, I don't really know what he was doing. He kind of was just floating around, which I mean, it's a last play, you know, we can't knock him too much. Like it's a lot of energy, a lot of emotions, but you just have to go find a body. And I definitely thought if you go and do that, it might not happen. But I also, and I'm not one to pick on, I am during games, but I'll never like afterwards be like, this is the reason we lost. And I also don't think it is the reason we lost today. But there was, the officiating was not the best. And there was moments on both sides that it wasn't the best. And I just think that they had to go to the review monitor like three times for blatant calls. Like you could see that from home. Like, oh, that's not a goaltend.
Yeah.
Oh, that is a goaltend. You know, like it was just, and then Rob's three that they had that he made, and it was definitely a three and he got fouled, but they didn't call the foul.
He did get fouled. Yeah.
But I mean, it's something to bring up whenever the announcers are actually talking about it during the game. And so I thought I would bring that up, but it's definitely not the reason we lost. I just think that officiating as a whole kind of has to get better.
SEC officiating, and Carson, I'll call a spade a spade. I hear you talk about the Zebras some. So I never speak about refs ever, whether I think it cost my team the game, it helped my team win the, you know, I'm not a big Zebras guy. I was a big umpires guy on the bump. I mean, I was. That's a different story, but we're talking about basketball. And you know, I agree with you. So what I'm saying is this is coming from someone I always, you know, I'm gonna keep it 100% here. We both are on the Wildcats Today show. I didn't think the officiating was great. I think it affected Kentucky, in my opinion, in that game. I mean, even the one goaltend on a do. Now, you know, they do have to review goaltends now.
Yeah.
So they have to.
Me add one more thing on my point with that, because not only did they take, they added the points and stopped the play. I think that was a transition opportunity for us.
That's
where
I was going.
We had someone down at the end of the court. Yeah.
That's where I was going, was that we had a run out opportunity. It's exactly where I was going. So I'm not going to be that guy. I didn't agree with the officiating some last night. I'm not going to say it cost Kentucky. I think Kentucky's defense in the second half cost Kentucky. While I agree with what you're saying about the offense, Carson, I mean, they did give up 48 points in the second half. My goodness.
Well, yeah. You know? No, the defense was not good, but I think, I really do think part of that was turnovers. And if it's way harder to defend a fast break than it is a set play. So
no, you're completely right about that.
I just thought our offense kind of got out of sorts there for a little bit because we didn't score there either. So you got to think like we weren't getting points. So I just thought we were a little out of control, a little out of sorts during that span. And we got it back together. We gathered and got it back together. And that's why we fought back the way we did. But it was definitely a mix of both. I just thought our turnovers were a little more errant than like they had been in the past. I don't know.
Yeah. So I need to pull up this article I wrote today over at Wildcats Today. But it's about our next topic is going to be DJ Wagner. You know, we have gotten to a point, and this is not, we're not here to knock DJ. What we're going to say is we need DJ back. It's not like, he hasn't panned out to be, it wasn't like the Justin Edwards conversation we had a couple months ago, which speaking of Justin, 3 of 4 from 3 last night, good game for him. I'm proud of him every time he
played good on defense too. And he's starting to find it in his head. He's acting like a leader out there. I love it.
Exactly. But what I wrote, I know since coming back from tweaking his ankle the second time, coming back from that injury, DJ Wagner is averaging 3.8 points a game. That's in 4 games. It's not like that's in 2 games. That's in 4 games. He did not score last night. 0 of 5 from the field, 0 of 2 from 3, and a couple of threes. Maybe it was just me, but I was just like, what are we doing here? But you got to remember this. He was averaging 12.1 points per game in the SEC games before tweaking his ankle injury. So since coming back, he's averaging 3.8 points. And this is not a let's all yell at DJ. This is a DJ, we need you, especially in March. I mean, as you said, Carson, you hammered and you're right. Guards win in March. We need DJ to be playing good basketball in March. So, I mean, what are your thoughts on DJ?
Yeah, I mean, and who really knows? Maybe it's still nagging him, that sort of thing.
That could,
because ankle's tough. Like it could be high ankle. Like, you know, you never really know what you're getting with an ankle injury. But he definitely has to get it together. I think you have to have him out there. He's a leader. He's great defensively. You have to have minutes with DJ Wagner on the court. And I know people are pleading and begging to start Rob Dillingham right now because he's got a hot hand, and he does. But I'll also bring out this. So the Warriors, Klay Thompson had been terrible. Everyone was saying he was washed, this and that. Klay Thompson came off the bench last night and scored 35 points.
How? I thought the All-Star break.
What?
It's the All-Star break. What are you talking about?
No, they played last night.
Bull crap, they played last night.
Mm-hmm.
They 100% did not play last night.
I swear they did.
They played the Lakers. What are you talking about? I'm going to call you out on this one. I mean, are you like trying to give us like an inspirational like story about like, hold on.
Well, they did not what play I'm last saying, night. Whether it mattered, whatever the last game he played, he scored 35 points coming off the bench. And that's a veteran who has won multiple NBA championships. All I'm saying is, sometimes it helps coming off the bench. So I think DJ Wagner should still start. I think it's also beneficial for DJ Wagner to still start because you have to get him flowing. Yeah. And clearly Rob Dillingham is going nuts off the bench. Yeah. So I don't see why we should change it up, regardless of how many people are going to throw fits and this and that. I think that it's beneficial to have Rob coming off the bench right now as a spark.
That can be a conversation. That's a good one. But by the way, that was on the 15th. So you were right. He did have 35 points, but I just couldn't let it slide. Cause I'm like, I was going to bet on the NBA last night and there weren't any games. So that's how I knew it didn't
happen. Fine. Last night. That's fine.
But yes, you are right about that. And it's a good point you make. You're right. But we can have this be its own episode if you want, but I don't know if I agree. I'm getting to a point where I'm saying
now if it continues,
I'll give you that.
My belief is the injury's still impacting DJ.
Yeah.
That is my belief.
But he's getting away from himself, is my problem.
If it continues, I would side with Rob Dillingham. Like in March, if we're playing the way we are right now, Rob Dillingham has to start.
Yeah.
It's just these last couple SEC games, I would rather give DJ the opportunity to get it going, and have a good DJ Wagner in March. You already know what you have with Rob. Rob's a superstar.
He's you don't want to get in DJ's head either. I agree with you on that. I'm with you on that. This is a really good conversation, and I'm not saying you're wrong, and I don't think you're saying I'm wrong here. I just think what irks me is like, okay, oh, there's 18 minutes and 36 seconds on the clock, and here comes Rob. It's like, just start him. Just start him. You know, I mean, why?
Yeah, I mean, Rob plays more minutes anyway. I mean,
yeah. But, I mean, you're right. Here's the deal. You're right. I mean, there's players, there's role. I mean, it's you're I don't disagree with you, but I'm to a point now where I just think you should have Rob and Reeves on that court for 35 minutes a game, and they should just be balling. In all honesty, I think Reed, Rob, and Reeves should be on the court 35 minutes a game. DJ switch in, you know, for him, them, and they'll get 12, 13. I mean, and I, because DJ's a great, you know what I mean? That's how good the backcourt is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's the reality. Yeah. That's how good the backcourt is.
You know what would be real interesting? If all this continues and we're getting to talk about second-year players.
Let's not get our hopes up on that. I mean, I don't know. We'll see. I mean, like, Rob and Reed are going to go pro. DJ's going to go pro. That'll be a conversation for another day, but that's where I lean. I mean, I'm not saying
that. If DJ falls to late second round, I mean, there's NIL money to be had here.
That is a good point, and I think he'd be incredible, but that's interesting. But so, you know, Reeves was great. Rob was incredible in the second half. I will also add, hey, Kentucky did hit a shot late. Give him credit. And it was all Rob. It was well defended, but my goodness, he was clutch when we needed him to be. So perhaps
I want to get your take on something real quick.
Well, hit me.
What do you think about taking the shot that early with the time?
Good question. Run me back through the situation again. It was Kentucky ball down a point.
Kentucky ball down a point with 20 seconds left.
Well, here, I mean, there's two schools of thought, in my opinion. School A is you take the final shot, it goes in, you win, it doesn't, you lose.
You lose.
I think a lot of folks are basing that question off the fact that it went in. You know what I mean? If you miss it, you can foul, and either they make both into three ties, or they make one and a three wins it, they make both a two ties it. I think this is – you could have an hour-long conversation on this. In all honesty, I don't hate the way Kentucky did it. I would have maybe waited a few more seconds, though. Made it like – would they shoot about 14 seconds, give or take?
I think it was around like 10-ish. I think they had like 10 point something. I could be wrong. But
I want to check because I do think it's important to the conversation.
Yeah.
So I'm going to pull that up.
But I what I'm saying is I think I know what you're going with this. I'm gonna agree with you because had he missed that shot, you have the chance to foul and still tie the game on the next possession. Now had it been a 2-point game, maybe you go for the last shot to tie or to win.
Yeah.
But it was a 1-point game, so both their free throws, even if they make them, you have seconds and have a chance to tie the game. That's just my philosophy. And on the road, you always want to be able to tie and to eventually win. So I agree.
Yeah, I'm trying to pull up this shot. Are they not going to show the last shot? Oh, he shot the ball with 14 seconds left. Okay. LSU inbounded with like 11 seconds. So what I'm saying, this would be, and I think you said that, but my argument would be you could have, like you just said, but you could have taken that shot with 10 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Then they inbound, you know, with eight, you foul them. They make them now. Then they could put you in the position of if they make both, they foul.
They
you.
Foul.
So, you know, but I think if you would have done it, shot the ball 6 seconds later and made it, then it may, you know, 6 seconds later, you can either take the shot. It either goes in and they only have 8 seconds to score instead of probably 11 or, you know, 6 seconds to score instead of 10, you know, whatever. Or if you miss it, you can foul them. And there's at least a chance that they miss one and have to play it out with 6 seconds.
Exactly.
And that's enough time to get it down court and shoot the basketball. So
exactly.
You know, that's kind of my thought. It's a good conversation to have. Let us know that in the comments, ladies and gentlemen. Like, yeah. What are your thoughts?
Tell
on
us
that?
What you think.
And then also tell us, you know, we're talking about how we're not upset about this loss. Losing sucks. It did suck. The way that there was a lot less effort on defense sucked. None of us are going to fight y'all on that. We agree with that. But we're just saying, I think this team has proven it can defend when it wants to. And I'm hoping this loss will go, okay, we can't ever take a second off. That's my yeah. That's my positive.
And it showed that we have the players to win big games because, yeah. I mean, Rob hits that shot. I mean, the chances of the other shot going in are not high. So exactly. you have Reed and Reeves and Rob. So you're going to be feeling good in March with those two guys regardless.
Exactly. So, Carson, I think I'm good. Are you good? Well, perfect.
I'm all good.
Yep. Let us know those two things in the comments. Hit the like and subscribe button. Like I said, it really does help a lot. And then tomorrow morning, between 9 and 10 a.m. Eastern, you will have a Alabama preview getting ready for the game on Saturday. So let us know your thoughts on this in the comments. We're really curious. Want this to be a good back and forth. And then be ready. Tomorrow morning will be the Alabama preview. But that is going to do it for today's episode of the Wildcats Today podcast. Everybody have a great rest of your day today. We'll see you on Friday morning to break down the Alabama game. See y'all next time.